Hello everyone, my name is Vicky and I would like to spend hours telling you about how the spiritual health journey with Mikel has changed my life, changed the trajectory of the future for myself and my family, inextricably linked to our energy, our peace, our happiness. But apparently I've only got 10 seconds and he's going to cut me off in a second.
World changing life. It's your brother from another motherland, Mr. Mikel Amin. Inside, go to a rojo, on rhythm, in breath. You don't know what time it ain't. This ain't the time, family, to sit down and be together with the dancing with the fence, family. In fact, you know what? I want to send big love to everybody, man. But you know what? I just want to say to everybody listening, wherever you are, I love you. I love you. You're beautiful. You are wonderfully made. You've got this. You've got this. I know how you feel about it, but you've got this. The you that I'm talking about is the universe, what empowers you. You have got this. Today, more than any other day, family, if no other day, today, family, is Furaha Day. I need you to be kind to yourself today. Please, please, family. It doesn't work when you beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself. Be loving to yourself. Honor yourself. Yes? Honor the God that woke you up this morning. Honor the God that gives you signals, signs, and symbols about where to go, what to do, how to move. Honor the God that continues the blood flow and flow of oxygen around your body and pumps your heart at the perfect rate. And opens up your lungs for oxygen. Come on, family. Give God the glory. That one. Mm-hmm. Not the fake God. The one that you can observe in spaces where you have no power. Spaces that you have no control over, family. We're wonderfully made gadgets. That's what we are. We're wonderfully made gadgets, family. We're wonderfully made gadgets. We're just gadgets. That's what we are. Gadgets. Gadgets. Random, yeah? Random. You ever thought, you know, like, it's so random. I put a post up just now called the Black Lives Matter Masturbation. You guys would know it because you've already seen, you've already seen probably the live when I came out with the analogy. But on the subject of masturbation, don't you think it's funny? Yeah, this is how sexually repressed we are, right? And if we have children, we have to really, parents, you got to put a brave face on and teach your children about themselves. You get what I'm saying? We can't leave it to the wind anymore. I feel like, you know, pornography is taking advantage of the fact of that we have insecurities around our sexuality. You understand? So the porn industry has gone, oh, you guys ain't doing nothing with that? I got you, son. Clamp it, I say. And it grips you. Think about it. How many of us, like, learn about sex through watching pornography? A lot. Do you get what I'm saying? But I was thinking about this random. I'm not going to share this with you. This is random, yeah? If my nose was itching and I did this, ain't no problems. If my chin was itching and I start doing this, if I did this, I said, oh, that feels good. You know, you see men doing this on their beard. Feels good. You know what I'm saying? When we're meditating, we put our hands on our heart and we're like, you got to say, when we hungry or we just had something nice, we're like, yeah, man. You got to say it. But put your hands down here now and all hell breaks loose. I find that so interesting how religion and, you know, these societies that are repress that side of our spirituality. Right? I find it so interesting. Or not interesting is the wrong word to use. But I find it very, it's very unfortunate, in all seriousness, it's very unfortunate that we can be so against our own body. Like, if you think about, like, masturbation, for example, yeah, you ain't doing nothing but touching yourself. Yeah, like, you're not, like, you ain't even, you know, like, for example, like, we talk about, you know, our link to food, or like abuse of alcohol, abuse of, you know, even attachments to other people. But you were born with this body. Everything you have on it belongs to you. So if you want to rub your toes, you know what I'm saying? You want to rub your toes. See, if you want to rub your toes, you can rub your damn toes. And you ain't never going to feel bad about rubbing your toes, unless they're just nasty. You get what I'm saying? You want to put your hand on your armpits while you're talking to somebody? That's all good. But let you rub your erogenous areas and all hell breaks loose based on the fear program that comes around it. Family, again, I'm just kind of opening up a conversation about how ridiculous some of the things that we put ourselves through is, you know? If we were born with these bodies and born with these faculties, yes? The ability to get ourselves high. For example, when you do breath work, No, like, anyone who's done breath work, like proper good breath work, let's say you've gone to the Black Airbender and he taught you how to breathe. You ain't gonna feel bad when you start getting high off of that. Like, there's breath work that can make you high. Like, literally. You lightheaded and you're like, oh, wow. And you start literally vibrating in a way where you can feel everything. You are never gonna feel bad for that. But why is it now when you touching yourself, your vagina or your penis, now you feeling bad? There's a disparity there that someone has planted in your head around your sexuality that needs to be removed. There's a problem. This is your body. This is your being. You don't have another one. Does that make sense? Yeah? And so in the same way that we view breath work, something like masturbation needs to be brought back into alignment with our spiritual health. Yes? Masturbation is a natural progression of your puberty, of your growth, of your initiation into the divine feminine, into the divine masculine. Does that make sense? So that needs to be brought back into... The only issue that we've had is as soon as you come upon some masturbation, the only place you get to explore that curriculum is through pornography. And pornography harvests sexual energy. That's what it does. Pornography will harvest your sexual energy and literally encourage you to waste it. Visually, emotionally, it will encourage you to waste your sexual energy. Now, I don't blame the porn industry, because the porn industry is taking advantage of a societal issue. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I remember back in the day, they used to cover the legs of pianos because the legs of pianos were seen to be too erotic. So they used to cover the legs of pianos. That's the sickness of this society. In this society, they used to cover the legs of pianos because pianos were seen as too... The leg, it could incite illicit sexual behavior. Real talk. Who else know that? My older people in here will know that. But that's what they used to do. You know what I mean? So... Again, we're dealing with people who have sexual issues. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Oh, let me take this all the way left. Should we do it all the way left? All the way left. Are you ready? Because, you know, we're speaking about Black Lives Matter. Well, you know, every time someone gets killed, people care about Black Lives. You get what I'm saying? Except us who stay on that 24/7, right? But check this out. Family, yeah? Getting spicy for a piano. I like that. Can you imagine getting spicy for a piano? Getting spicy for a piano leg. Got a bit of the piano leg. Heard you had some piano legs around here, love. Can I see a bit of the piano leg? Only 10 centimetres. Give us a whiff of the piano leg. That's funny. All right, what was I saying? So, you know one of the biggest problems with the unnatural one, with natural people, yeah? The biggest problem is this, our sexuality. The biggest issue, yes, the reason why it's so important that the system of white supremacy, right, has black men killed disproportionately, and it's so important that the black family structure is severed, and why there has been literal, it's so documented that I don't even like talking about it. Like, if you're on my page, you know, innit? Yeah? But there's been so much efforts over the last few centuries to ensure that black families and black men in particular are separated from black women and white women. Because we have one of the greatest weapons of mass production. I'm joking. We have the greatest weapon of mass production, and that is our penis. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You drop one penis on a white woman, that's it. She's finished forever. Black child, you know what I'm saying? Now, you know? So, honestly, you know, I make these things into jokes because they're very serious. And, you know, the other side is me just getting angry. So I have fun with what I'm saying. But very, very seriously, you know, the biggest issue with the black-white dynamic or the system, because it's not about the people, the system that does that treats black people in a certain way is their sexual power to annihilate them. We don't need guns. We have penises. We put our penis in one of your women and it's a wrap for you. Finished. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? And moreover, we have a greater capacity to produce children longer and more often. That is a problem for a people who already are a minority on the planet and are documented going extinct by the decade, by the century. There's less and less and less and less and less of them on the planet. So you got to understand the system that is set up is fixed that way. That's the fixture. So there is no talking to this system. There is no complaining. There is no trying to convince. Because who are you really trying to convince? It's not your white friend Gary. Gary is cool. Bethany is cool. But they are, just like you are, subject to a system. A system is a system. Yes? Does that make sense? So, you have to understand. And for those of you who want to get a real in-depth look into what I'm saying, read the ISIS papers by Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. And when I say read, it's not a Tom and Kate book. You get what I'm saying? It's not pick up the book and Tom said, hi, Tom got a red ball. Tom gave Kate a red ball and now they're happy. It's not that. It's a studied book. So if you ain't ready to study this system, don't pick up the book because you'll fall asleep just reading one sentence. You get what I'm saying? You got to study. But very simply, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing wrote a book called The ISIS Papers, Breaking This Shit Down. And the greatest threat to the system is our sexuality. Do you understand that? The greatest threat to this system is our sexuality. So, more important than anything is the power, freedom, discipline, autonomy we have over our sexuality. Because if you look at all the great things we do, and when I say our sexuality, I'm also talking about our creativity. Yes? When you look at Hollywood actors, right? Or all the creative arts is based on your sexuality. Your sexuality is your creative essence. Yes? You know that. Your sexuality is your creative essence. So, these industries, the music industry, and Hollywood, and all the creative industries, they all harvest our energy and give us some pennies for it. They harvest our sexual energy. It is our sexual energy that creates these genres of music. Do you understand? It is our sexual energy that make these sports that they made what it is. The NFL, the NBA. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Football. Football was not football until Brazil came in with African spirituality. Until Brazil brought African spirituality to football, football was not football. You understand? When Brazil brought their African, if you ain't seen the film Pelé, go and watch that film Pelé. And it will tell you about how all the things that we love about football today was banned at one point. But when them black people started winning them games, they was like, yo, you better do them backflips. You better twist that ball under your legs. You better show me how the hat trick goes. You get what I'm saying? Soon as they started doing them cartwheels and winning matches, that was it. All of that to say, family, it's all based on our sexual essence. Most importantly, we must go through a intentional effort to discipline, control, and free our sexual essence. You hear what I said? Take responsibility, discipline, control, and free our sexual essence. Because that's what we're here to do. Currently, all of our entire sexual essence is harvested into all of these industries. Yeah? Think of yourself as a cow. Yeah? And there's a machine plugged into all your udders. Acting. You know what I'm saying? Baby, love making. You know what I'm saying? Flipping. What else? Sports. You know what I'm saying? Music. You know what I'm saying? And they're just sucking your entire essence. And you think you getting gas because your face is on a milk carton. Oh, that's me. Yeah, I'm on the new milk carton. You see that? That's right. Keep on sucking. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, cows are dying by the day. You get slaughtered right afterwards. When your milk is dry, dead. Cow for dead. Yes? I hope you're understanding my analogy. Yes? And we don't want that anymore, family. We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want to be used, abused, sucked dry, and then discarded, waiting for our next children, waiting for the next child to come up so they can continue harvesting our energy, our sexual essence, our sexual power and prowess. Own your shit. Free. You want to be sexually liberated. Yes, you do. I don't care who you are. You want to be sexually liberated. You want to be sexually free. You want to be sexually empowered in all your glory. Yes, you do. But you not taking responsibility for that is the first way in the opposite direction. Taking responsibility, channeling, discipline, and freeing. That is the steps to do that, family. Yes? And so it often starts just like taking control of your nutritional diet. When you took control of your emotional diet, you had to fast, okay? So the first thing is about understanding, if we're dealing with sex itself, we're talking about shifting the patterns and rhythms of our sexual behavior. Yes? And so for some of us, this is about addressing our pornography addictions. Yes? Because that is an industry dedicated to harvesting. I didn't say your masturbation addictions. I said your pornography ones. Those are two different things. Masturbation is natural. Pornography is the industry built around your nature. You see what I'm saying? Like music, singing is natural. Dancing is natural. These industries are built to harvest your natural energy. Do you understand what I'm saying, family? Does that make sense? These industries are built to harvest your natural energy so that you don't find innovative things to do with that. So that you don't come up and think, oh my God, my voice can heal. I can heal people with vibrations of my voice. I'm a singer. I'm gonna work on shifting people's vibration with the tones from my voice. That's not coming to you when you're constantly caught up in, oh, I need to make it in this industry. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying it's distracting. I'm saying that route is not something we own. And today we have the most empowering opportunity to create anything we want out of our creative powers. You see what I'm saying? You see? So in the same way, family, it's about allowing ourselves to channel our energy in a direction that we have to take complete and utter responsibility for. As a people, we cannot be underwhelmed in any direction. We have to channel our energy in such a way that it requires our faith, requires our discipline, requires our attention, requires our to see it through to its logical conclusion. And that's what your energy needs. A lot of you guys are underwhelmed. A lot of us are underwhelmed. We're not producing at the level of our sexual power. Come on, family, are you hearing me? It's not just about baby making, you know what I'm saying? And pum pum wetting, you know what I'm saying? It's not just about the juk juks, you get what I'm saying? Because even the juk juks is just one aspect of your sexual essence. If you think about it, the juk juk is one aspect of your sexual essence. And most of us ain't doing that right anyway either. You see? But generally speaking, you are underwhelmed when it comes to your sexual power. You don't know what to do with it. So you just wank it off because it's the nearest and easiest thing to do. I get it. Trust me, I get it. You see what I'm saying? But the time has come for us to recognize that we are being called to use our sexual power to command this world's vibration. Do you understand? This time has come for us to use that sexual power, family, on all levels to command the vibration of the planet, because it is indeed our superpower. Like I said, go and read. I ain't going to break it down. The leading black psychiatrist, Dr. Francis Cresswell Singh, has broken it down in studyable formats in her ISIS papers. You want to go read that book and understand what she's talking about. Our sexual nature moves this planet. And that is why we must stay oppressed. We have to stay oppressed. You understand that? We have to stay oppressed. We have to stay oppressed. We have to stay underwhelmed. We have to stay in a dependent mindset so that our sexual energy can be harvested and used. Slavery is still here, family. You ain't got chains. Your chains is on your vagina. The chains is on your penis. The chains on every one of your levels. You separated everything. It's not separate, family. I don't know why I got the... random songs come into my head. Random songs come into my head and I can't explain it. I don't know why this song came into my head right now, but I just got to... Just to give her one thing and we'll go question time. I just need to hear this song right now. Just this one. I don't know why. It might not even be relevant, but I just need to hear it right now. Come through. Where you at? What? Where's my rhythm? I need to hear this tune. Oh, I need to hear this rhythm right now. Family, we're going to do question time in a second. But I just got this rhythm in my head that needs to get out. Day.
We'll fight this little struggle, cause that's the only way we can overcome a little trouble.
Hey!
Brother, you're right.
So right. We gon' fight.
We gon' fight.
We love to fight.
We gon' fight.
We love to fight.
We gon' fight.
Life go alright.
This is burning. Massive joy.
We gon' fight.
We gon' fight.
We gon' fight.
man. Jesus Christ. Oh, my days. That song. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, do, 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 do. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Do, 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 do. It's going to be a Bob Marley day today. Pass me the ganja. You know what I'm saying? Pass me the weed. Who got the weed on deck? Who got the weed on deck? Pass me the weed on deck. I got the weed on deck. Pass me the... Anyway, family, let's get it in. I did not plan to even talk about what I'm talking about, literally, but it, you know how it goes. When spirit tech you, you just have to tech with yourself. Let's do questions, family. Let's do questions. I'm on point today. Just past the half an hour mark. Just literally 30 minutes just licked as soon as I looked at it. So let's go, family. Let's go, let's go. Let's get it in. You know what the topic is. Let's go. Throw the questions in. Real talk. This is a very important subject that we need to address physically, literally, practically, actively. You get what I'm saying? Like, real talk. Can I say, while you lot are lining up your questions, we're so wonderful. Like, let me be real with you lot. I wouldn't want it any other way. I know it sounds kind of crazy, right? But like, we're so gorgeous, man. My people are delicious. I love black people. I love, oh my God. Oh, gorgeous. Sana, I wouldn't want it any other way. Gorgeous, just gorge. You know you gotta mess up the word to even bring more out of it. Gorgeous, just gorge. And Tamu, you know what I'm saying? Just so nice and wonderfully made. Look at this. You don't even know yourself. I just look at my people sometimes, yeah. And just, I'm just like, you don't even know. Oh, you just don't even know. You're just there with your, just gorgeousness. All of us, men and women, all and young, just, oh, I'm just beautiful for no reason. And I'm going to talk and it's going to sound with rhythm and bass and life and fullness and abundance and, you know what I'm saying? We just out here with our gorgeousness. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's so... Oh, man. All right. We're going to do some questions. So, is the question box not there for anyone else? Or is it just Angie who's having this? just gorge. I was like, who's that? I was like, what? You going peace. Just good. Yeah? I'm going to try to do... But there are some questions in the question box as well. So I'm going to go to that one. Let me see. It's really... If you can, if you've got the question box, family, throw it in the question box because... yeah. It's easier to find it and locate it. But let me try Angie's question, Kwanzaa. How would you suggest talking to children about sexuality? I mean, a 12-year-old. Now, 12 is a perfect time to talk about the physical aspects of sex. In my opinion and observation, I mean, if children inquire, I feel like if a child inquires, then they're ready, you see? But if we're talking about the general trajectory of children, I think 12, the age when they graduate into their teens. I had sex at 13. I just like putting that out there. See what I'm saying? I had actual real life sex at 13 years old. And I've been thinking about sex from when I was like 9. You get what I'm saying? So that should tell you where some people are at. I know everyone ain't like me, but do you get what I'm saying? So 12 is a good time because, you know, as a boy, you're already ejaculating. As a girl, you're already on your period. So it's a perfect time to now explain the natural processes that the boy child and the girl child are going through. They are going through a natural initiation. Nature is bringing them into a new paradigm of themselves, which is to do with their sexual power. You see? So for boys, that's going to be wet dreams. Like I said, you know, my godson shared with me that that's what happened with him. And I was able to talk with him about that and let him know, like, actually gas him up. Like, yo, you're becoming a man. And this is what's going to happen. And I need you to understand that this represents a new place in your power. Does that make sense? And you're going to have a greater drive to want to do certain things. But that comes with certain responsibilities. And we're going to break that down and we're going to talk about that. Do you get what I mean? So, again, for a girl and a boy child, it looks a bit different because their awareness is going to be in two different spaces. But what keeping it as short as I can, talking to a 12-year-old, for example, about sex is about helping them understand sex through the means in which they're growing in already. So for a girl, that might be her period and just her attraction to boys. For a boy, it might be his erection, his wet dreams, ejaculation. That's another thing. You like I want you guys to understand, we need to have a lot more empathy for boys and men who are still sexually boys, which is most men are still sexually boys. I hope you understand that. Understand in your mind, men, we ejaculate in our sleep. That should tell you a lot about our sexual game. Yeah? So men who are still boys sexually, you've got to understand the psychology. We ejaculate in our sleep. It's not hard to do. So, like I always say, women always want to put themselves next to men in the sexual game, and I'm like, no, we're not playing the same game. We're not playing the same. When we come together, we're the opposites. That's why we attract each other. Not to digress, but I need to put it out there. A boy will ejaculate with no hands, no touching, no nothing. In from his mind to his penis is coming out. So I need you to understand why that's so important for you to know. Because most men out here are still sexually children. All right. Because there's been no sexual cultivation. The most important thing for a man to have in his sexual game is discipline. Meaning a stiff wood that he can control. Yeah? Because that represents his ability to control himself on all other levels. Yes? Alright, let's see. I know you lot are going in. You see what I'm saying? You lot start going in the comments and I can't see shit. That's why I don't like answering questions that are not in the question box. Because now I really lose the flow of the conversation. Yes, also there's a discussion that the Soma Academy, a group of Warojo House, is having this week, Friday, not this week, next week, Friday the 30th of April, around speaking with their children on sex. So reach out to the @Soma Academy. They're going to be talking just that. Alright, let's do that. So, I think as a teenage mother to two beautiful girls, I want to let them have a free sexuality, but I end up have to tell them to watch out because there is so much men who rape. What is it? What do you class as a free sexuality? Continuing, what can I do to encourage my daughters but to at the same time warn them so that they don't get raped in a situation? Awesome. So they need to understand their power in the sexual game. Yes? They need to be made as you help them grow in their... See, it's really good. If you want to help someone understand their sexuality, right? Even before talking about the physical aspect of sex, what you want to deal with, help them cultivate, is their creative essence. You want to allow them the ability to express themselves through movement, through their voice, through their mindset. You want to allow them to be caught in their creative abundance of self, creative expression. You want to empower their voice on an impressionable level as well, meaning learning how to speak up. Again, singing, dancing, acting, painting, creating, martial arts, all of these things help to cultivate and also set a discipline around our sexual essence. Yes? Now, being that free and having that kind of voice will also... What's beautiful about being creative and being allowed to be expressive and creative is your also your ability to use your voice and to garner wisdom from that as well. Yeah? Rape happens in many different kind of scenarios and situations, and I know there's a couple blurred lines around what people call rape or not. But we'll take the most extreme example where someone forces themselves into you against your actual will. You see? What we want to be... Well, first of all, we need to cultivate the boys. Yeah? Like, a man should, like, that should just be a standard. Does that make sense? But in terms of a girl protecting herself, it's about her being able to use her voice and discern, right? Discern. Because I feel like, I don't have the statistics on this, but I'm talking from the people who I know who have been through that situation. Most rape happens with people you know and people that you've already allowed into your space for one reason or another. And the rape happens eventually from those scenarios. So what we want to be able to teach our daughters is discernment. You see, we want to be able to... Women, like I said, in the sexual game, women look for love. In the sexual game, men look for peace. And so it's very important that our girl children feel that environment of love from the men in their life as well. You see? Because this is how they get in some vulnerable situations when they have a genuine need for that energy, but it's not there, especially in ways that are safe, secure, and do not have to mean that they have to give up another part of themselves. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a societal and cultural thing, family, because that is supposed to be met with the discipline of men as well. And this is why a lot of people don't like hearing this, but this is why in societies women are so protected and so guarded. Women and children are the most important thing. This is why rules and regulations are put around women to protect them. You see, because a man will just, like I said, he can come in his sleep. So an undisciplined man is a very... Sexually undisciplined men are very dangerous to themselves, let alone to women. Men who are sexually not disciplined, sexually immature, are dangerous to themselves, let alone women. You see? And so, in societies of old, we created gateways. Before you can access a woman, you have to prove yourself. The community protects the woman at all times, so she can be her free self. As she's cultivated, they not only protect the woman, but they ready her to be her liberated self. And same with the man. Because given the opportunity, I remember Dave Chappelle said this: if a man can have sex with you... He didn't say have sex. If a man can fuck you in a shoebox, he will. But he most times he can't. So that's why he's like, all right, let me go get a job. Let me go get some money. Let me buy some nice clothes. It's all for you at the end of the day. Like, when you pick apart men and what they do, it's all for a woman. Whatever woman you want to put in the frame, it's all for a woman. It's all for the woman. Because the woman is what brings a man back to his peace. That's it. And so knowing that, how do you use that natural impetus of men who have a drive, whose drive is the woman? How do you use that to help cultivate him to his greatest self? If in his infancy, he can have all there is to have. Like, I have no business having sex at 13. It was just too easy. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And it was an older girl at that. So I have no. What am I supposed to do after that? You hear what I'm saying? I was walking around like I'm the man. I didn't need to do shit after that. What do you mean? I had sex. I'm good. I don't need GCSEs. You know what I'm saying? Job? What do you mean job? You know what I'm saying? I don't need a job. I've already had sex. I've done what they need to do. I'm talking about, this is my teenage mind. Obviously, I didn't say it like that, but generally, it's like, that's what we do things for. The impetus to be with a woman is the drive. Knowing that our women will not take us until we're at a certain level is the drive for a man to become greater. That is, like I said, a man's only natural discipline is his erection. Do you understand? A man's only natural discipline is his erection. So if his erection is met with his greatest, what would you say? His greatest reward at 13, where'd you go from there? Where'd you go? What's the drive after that? So the protection of women and the gateway to even lay with a woman is so important, because it's going to help you cultivate yourself even more. You can't touch her until you come in with, like, my favorite line of this year is, broke boys don't deserve no pussy. I know, that's right. That's real. Broke boys don't deserve a vagina. That's just that real. What are you bringing to the table? And we ain't just talking about money, bro. We're talking about morally, principally, all of that. You ain't got no vision as a man, but you want to go into a woman and do up vision. You want to go into the woman and do up visions in the vagina. What are you putting inside of her? If you ain't got a vision, you ain't got no principles, you ain't got no morals upstanding, you limp. You limp in life. But you want to give someone an erection. You can't give an erection to your own dreams. You can't give an erection to manifesting what you see as the truth. But you want to give an erection to another universe called a woman. You want to run up in earth and do up. And do up vision. You see what I'm saying? That's not the way. So I had no business having sex with a girl at 13. But guess what? A man ain't gonna say no. A man ain't gonna say no, fam. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what you saying? What you saying? She's like, I'ma do it any way you want to. And I'm like, well. You see what I'm saying, family? So, yeah, man. Anyway, let me get on some more questions. Because thank you for asking that banging question. Oh, you said I answered it. Perfect answer. Cool. I'm glad you got the... I'm glad I could shed some light on that. Because it's a tough, touchy, sticky subject, family. And there's no one to blame. We have to take on the responsibility as a community. And we can't put boys and girls in the same category. They're not. They make up two halves of God. They literally make up two halves of God. So we can't treat them the same. They're only equal because we're different. Do you hear that? We're only equal because we're different. Like plus and minus. We come together and become God. But we have to understand our role in that. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's try to do some questions. Alright, let's try to get some questions. Since you're talking BLM, do you think it's really anti-black family or whatever the conspiracy? I don't even know what the conspiracy is. I'm not even involved, sister. I can't even lie. I'll pass the tagline, Black Lives Matter. I don't even care about the politics. I told you guys in 2016, when I left England, I left that shit. That mindset, literally, the last march, I led that march in Oxford Street. We got picture evidence. I led that shit. Me and the man them led that march in Oxford Street. Who is it? 2016. Sandra Bland, I think it was Sandra Bland. I led that shit. And I was like, we're all wankers. Because no one's listening. We're all wanking. And guess what? We're going to be right back. It's like, stay there. Don't tune in again next month, folks, for more Black Lives Matter. And see a sea of black people wanking into the abyss. We look ridiculous. We look stupid. And I'm not on it. I went to the motherland. I shifted my entire vibration. And we have Waroho House right now. An actual, real life, global, African community dealing with economic, spiritual, social empowerment. I've got nothing else to focus on. What better way to say Black Lives Matter than the community of mothers that came together in Waroho House and created homeschooling for their children? What better way money than me spending money with the people within my community offering services? What better way to say Black Lives Matter than for us creating businesses together? What better way to say Black Lives Matter than me taking a sea of black people to the motherland, spending money on actual black people with a black business, helping other black people? Come on. After that, we ain't gotta say that shit. The only people that are singing Black Lives Matter are the people who, on a day-to-day basis, don't give a shit about black people. Generally. So let's keep going as well. Thank you. How do you distinguish the difference between fear and intuition when it comes to not doing something? Amazing. Hold on. How do you distinguish the difference between fear and intuition when it comes to not doing something? Okay, I'm thinking of a scenario. Let's do a scenario. Okay, what kind of scenario would fear and intuition? I don't want to. Let's take Cesaro. Should we do Cesaro? Let's say I asked Ben to share a video. Ben, I want you to share a video of you doing Cesaro. And Ben's like, oh, I don't want to share this video of me doing Cesaro because it may hurt my brand image. Or I don't want to share it because I'm scared of what people will think of me. Is that what you... Ben, I want you to confirm if that's what you're talking about. Where you're trying to see whether what's come to you is really the right decision not to, or whether it's you just being a punk. I don't want to die. No one wants to die. That's the whole point of life. You don't want to die. No one wants to die. And you might have to get Ben, you might have to come live and ask that question specifically, because I'm trying to create a scenario that will help me answer that directly, properly. Yes? So yeah, Ben, you might have to come live. You might have to click that live button, brother. Click that live. You might have to do that. It might have to be a man-to-man politicking situation. Let's get it. Benjamin!
I just woke up. Hello. Alright, so the question. Alright, so I was thinking about fear of death. Right, so basically, if you're having like loads of fears to do with like, oh man, like this could be the end soon. That sounds crazy as I'm saying it, but like, do you not do what you want to do out of fear that if I go do that, this might be the end? Or do you like, do you know what I mean? Like, is it more of a thing where it's like, you know what, I just trust my intuition that I'm not gonna die, and
I'm with you. This is literally the McKellamine story. You get said. I think I'm dying, bro. Like real talk. Like that is like ever since I turned 13, I've had this death thing. Right? It's weird, but it's real. Yeah. And I've shared with you guys before that at the top of 2020, I literally thought I was going to die. I literally went to bed, was like, oh, it's time for me to die. You know what I'm saying? when lockdown happened, I came from Africa. You was there. So you know how beautiful that experience was. Like, yeah. We did all of that. The high. And then I was like, oh, lockdown. I'm back in England. Everything's gone to shit. I've taken my grandma to the motherland. I basically made it in life, in my head. Oh, it might be time for me to die. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's genuinely my thoughts. It's like, it must be. Because this shit is hell out here. So the truth is, you ain't never going to know when you're going to die. So that thought that comes to you where, you know, we feel like, oh, it might be my time coming soon, right? That is a call to death, but not the death you're thinking. It's a call that you are going through a shift within yourself that is going to require you to become something different in order to continue on the natural trajectory that you're on. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, for example, Mikel post-2020, I'm a different beast. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? I, when 2020 came in and I felt the spiritual shifts, yeah, going on, and I was like, I think I'm dying. Yeah?
Mm.
I was really being called to step into a new paradigm of myself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so in one sense, I did die. That there's things that I explicitly no longer do, and there are things that are my discipline today that yesterday wasn't. I wasn't waking up every single morning doing what I'm doing in 2019. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't create the spaces and the forums that I have created, i.e. Warojo House and the learning institution of Chesa Rojo, none of that was present. Does that make sense? I became a fuck in that same year. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? I had new levels of responsibility being back in the UK. So there are sometimes you feel like what you've got to understand is like, how do I explain this? Is
your brain is younger than, or should I say, your brain has a less capacity to intuit wisdom than your heart. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So your brain is trying to process some divine shit, but you ain't never been taught divine wisdom. You trying to logicalize it. So all you see in your head is, I'm going to die. I'm dying. That's what your brain is saying. I'm going to die soon. Oh my God, I'm dying. Where, because you understand death in one particular way. Does that make sense? Because that's the only way we've been cultivated and taught about death. When yes, you are dying, but really is you're going through, what? Because what death is a constant transcendence from one paradigm experience to the next. Even when you physically decay, that's what's happening. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, but in this lifetime, we go through several resurgences of life. You see what I'm saying? So when we get that death-like feeling, more often than not, we are being called to elevate. Yes? And it could sound like, right? It could sound like a physical death. Some people even go into suicidal thoughts in this stage. And they even attempt to take their life, thinking their brain is telling them to do that. They are only defining death in a very linear concept. Does that make sense? Really, death, when the intuition of, oh, I'm dying, comes up, it's really showing you about your expansion, your evolution of self, where the old shit must go. Think about it like this, yeah? Think about it like this. I was being prepared to be a father. I can't own the same systems that I was. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah? I've been preparing to lead the community around spiritual health. I cannot operate in the same way done before. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's everybody's portion. You're always being called to level up. Always. So the fear that comes into that is the fear of not knowing what that looks like. What is the next level of me going to look like? The only reason we fear death is because we don't know where we're going. We can't guarantee. That's the only reason we fear death. If we had like a Google Drive of everyone that died and where they're at, we'd be like, oh shit, kill me. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Take my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we don't. And so it's a constant plague in our mind, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you don't have to fear death, the physical one or the spiritual one, because what you do the now secures what happens when you die. To respond to yourself now will reflect in the natural trajectory of your life. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So you're already being level up, whether you like it or not, being called to, just like you're being called to death, you're being called to level up. It's like my thing's gone low. You can hear me though, yeah?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, cool. Just look at my face. Yeah. And thing to focus on.
Yeah.
Because that's the security of the next moment. The next moment is secured by your ability to respond to this one. You ain't got to worry about the pounds, they say, if you take care of the pennies, which is the seconds that we live.
I'm realizing the way I asked that question was kind of like, do you know what I mean? I guess kind of you can confuse what my mind was at. But what I was thinking about, and you've kind of answered it, like, was like, what should I do? Do you know what I mean? Am I being called to not do something? Do you know what I mean? Like, when is your intuition telling you to avoid something? Do you know what I mean? Or when is, like, fear? When are you not doing something out of fear? Did you hear that?
Sorry, you broke up a little. Ooh. A little bit, bro. Say that again.
Oh, no, I was... Can you hear me now? Yeah, I was saying, when is it you're the way I was asking the question was, intuition telling you not to do...
We lost them. Let me try to get back. We lost Brother Ben. Come back, Brother Ben. Come back, Brother Ben. Sorry, guys, can you guys hear me? My phone is moving mad. We've lost, I don't know what's going on. Because it would seem. Family, the lag on my side is profound. So if I'm signaling, you can see me, if you can hear me. There was extreme lag with Ben. Can hear me, if you can see me, if let me know. Let me know. There's a delay, there's a mad lag. Let's try Ben one more time. Then we're gonna out. Yo, bro.
Yo, there is mad lag, by the way. There's mad lag, but I'll be really quick. I think what I was saying was sometimes you feel like it's an intuitive thing, like you're having, like, you're going through intuition where it's like, I shouldn't leave my house today. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes. Do you know what I mean? It's a positive feeling. It's like, you know what? I'm gonna trust my intuition here. Cause like, but sometimes it's fit. And I think when I was trying to like distinguish when is like when should you go with your intuition because you feel like it's coming from a positive place or like a higher place as opposed to like a fearful place.
Yeah, what my barometer, bro, and I learned this from what I was going through. At the top of 2020, where I had to really adjust and understand the voices that were leading my thoughts, yeah? God does not speak through fear. God doesn't need to do that. So if you're fearful of doing something, know that's not God, yeah? Mm-hmm. That's your mind trying to process its lack of education about what you're being called to do. If you've got a feeling like, you know what, I'm not going to go live today and I'm at peace with that, or I'm not going to go out today, or do you know what, I'm cool, I don't want to do that. That is an inspiration. God speaks through inspiration. If you have an inspired thought to take a different route on your journey, do it. Do it with full vim, yeah? If you have an inspired thought to break up with someone or end a certain relationship, for example, it may be painful still, but it's an inspired thought. You have this overriding feeling, I need to let go of that person. Wow, I need to let go of that person. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Then, you know, I would say constantly follow that. Always, 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 always. And because it also puts you in the best position to respond. If you're in fear, you're never gonna go as you want to. Always going to be on the fence when you're in fear. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're in fear, you're fence. Even if you make a decision, you're going to kind of creep through.
Mm.
Like Shaggy Scooby, like, you know what I'm saying? We want to solve the mystery. We kind of, you know what I'm saying? Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So in the same way, you know, God does not speak through fear. So if in your head, you know, you're cussing yourself and be like, you deserve to die because you did this when you were younger, or you deserve to come off the planet because you didn't get that right, and you're 30 years old, and you still live at your mom's house, and you don't make this amount of money, and you're da-da-da-da, you should quit because you're a da-da-da-da. That is not God. And so that is not an inspired thought. Yes, it's a misdirected one.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? God doesn't need to speak through fear. God has your entire being. God has your sexual essence. God don't need to speak through fear. God will just inspire you sexually. You'd be like, ah, I'm going after that shit. You know what I'm saying? Literally, in every direction. And that's been one of my, personally, that's been one of my greatest barometers. Whenever I hear fear come up, I'm like, well, I know I'm not supposed to do that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I know I'm not supposed to do that. So I just bat it down. You see? But now I may have an inspired thought that I'm scared of what's going to happen, but I'm still inspired. You know, there's that inspired, yo, bro, I'm going to do it, you know? Dude, it's kind of crazy, bruv. I don't know what's going to happen, bruv, but I'm going to do it. That's different. That's not fear.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's like, all right, let me take my time. All right. Nah, all right, cool. Let's go. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something, do you get what I'm saying? That's different. Whereas fear is like, puts you in this space where it's like, oh, I don't deserve this, or I should die. Do you know what I'm saying? Or all of that shit. God don't need to speak to you like that. Because when it's time for you to go, you're going to go anyway. God don't need to tell you to take your life. You're gone. You can't escape. When it's time to die, you're going to die. It'll happen. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God don't need to be all up in your brain. Take the knife, slit your wrist, take the pills, jump off the bridge. God don't need to talk to you like that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? God just stop the blood flow in your body while you're sleeping. Boom. Finished. Do you get what I'm saying? So all that other shit is us actually being out of sync with what God is telling us. Or taking us. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? All fear becomes our separation from the unity of God.
Yeah.
That shit's all ego. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yes, kid. You see that though, bro? Bless, man. Thank you for asking that, bro. We always love your questions.
I appreciate you, man. All right. I'll be out.
Peace, in.
Peace, man.
You don't know. Fams, fam, family, big up you guys. Big up yourself, fam. The questions today were banging. Did I get through all of them? No, there were some other questions. Let me see if I can answer one more. A man threatening to hit a woman is as good as hitting them. I've had to end a relationship yesterday because he threatened to punch me in the face. Did I do the right thing? Though he has never hit him? Me? Hit you? A man threatening to hit a woman is as good as hitting them. I've had to end a relationship yesterday because he threatened to punch me in the face. Did I do the right thing? Absolutely, you did the right thing. 100%, no qualms. 100%, you did the right thing. Like, you did the right thing based on the fact that you ended it. You could never be in the wrong for ending. Like, that's what you did, is set your standards. Oh, you're gonna hit me? My computer says no. Immediately. Goodbye. End of relationship. That is powerful. And you did the absolute. There's no argument to say you did the wrong thing. None. There's no valid argument that could put you in a place where you're none. You did the right thing. A+, A*, number one on all GCSE accounts. You did the right thing. And big up yourself for doing that. because a lot of people, not just women, people do not have the courage to do that. Now, I'm not saying this is, I don't know the man, I don't know his situation, I don't know his lifestyle, but you did the right thing for you. He, in order to get back in your life, because you have now set a standard. Men are, listen, we're born to take the piss. We're born to take the piss. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to carve out things in the world that have never been before. So we're born to push the envelope. So women especially have to set their standards with men very explicitly. So a man gets it in his head because he's born to test you. The nature of the masculine is to test you, is to test the limit. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. That is the manly thing to do. So if he's tested you, I'll punch you. And you're like, bye, done. He's now got to live with the consequence of what he's done. So if he wants to get back in your life in any way, shape, or form, he has to now resit the exam. He's got to resit the examination. He's got to resit the papers. If he wants to get back in your life, he's got to retake. You got it wrong last time. And, you know, I'm not saying that you should do that, but I'm just saying, in general, you know, people do change, innit? But you don't have to wait for someone to change. People do change, but you don't have to wait for that shit. If a man says he's going to punch you in your face, I've never said that. You know what I'm saying? I used to have girls in my head, hit me! You know what I'm saying? Well, hey, women, you got to stop doing that shit. Furthermore, I'm not saying this is you, please, sis, so don't take offense to what I'm about to say, yeah? But some women be telling half the story. Some of you women, I'm going to get at you. Some of you women be telling half the story. Now, I'm going to talk up for the man there. You be telling half the story. A woman will show up with a black eye and a sore face and shake him like, he hit me. He hit me. Yeah. But you rewind that story. Let's take a look at what really happened 2 hours earlier. You was out here, hit me. Come on, if you're bad, pussy-o. You ain't shit. You're not ready for me. Boom, broomstick in his head. And he's sitting there like, you know what I'm saying? All he did was probably give you one cuff in your head. You know what I'm saying? Not that it's right, but I'm saying, family, that a lot of women be testing men on men levels and get shocked when a man meets you at that manly space. No. But you get what I'm saying? A lot of women be testing men on men levels. You be acting like a man to a man and get, you know, you get mad when he starts treating you like a man. I seen girls get clotheslined, like on some wrestling shit. And whereas I wouldn't hit a woman, I was like, low key, she called for that. Could you be all up in a man's head, all up in a man's face, asking him to do the manly shit, and when he gives you the hand of God, you know, you want to become feminine again. You know, I say, huh? You get limp when a man gives you the flipping the Jeff Hardy clothesline. When a man does WWF on you, it's not nice anymore. Not every man has that discipline. So why push that? Not every man has that discipline. So don't even call. There's so much ways. As a woman, you understand, as a woman, a man's nature is to submit to you in term, especially when it comes to his physical nature. He submits his will to God, but his body, you're there to bring his being peace. So there's so much ways, yes, in your feminine to disarm a man. So easy. And the most feminine women know how to do that. You disarm a man. You don't even need to say shit. You just disarm him. He's got nothing. You know what I'm saying? He's huffing and puffing. And it's like, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, anyway, we're at 8:26, and so we're at 8:26, family. And so, yeah, thank you for your questions today. Thank you for that question, sister. I wasn't taking the piss out of you either, but I also wanted to offer a balance to that conversation, because that's also true. You did the right thing in all cases. Even if you provoked it, like, physically, you still did the right thing. You get what I'm saying? Because if you have to go, if you have to physically put your hands on a man to get your message across, then it's already not a healthy relationship. If he has to threaten you with putting his hands on you, then it's already not a healthy relationship. You see what I'm saying? You've already overstepped the mark. Whichever way this relates, we've already overstepped the mark. So you've done the absolute right thing. Big up yourself. Yeah, I'm so eager to answer more questions, but I can't. Time wise, it's not gonna go. So I'm sorry, family, if I missed your question today. But big up yourself. This has been a powerful. This has been a powerful conversation, and tune in again, same time next week, family, for some more Black Lives. Oh, sorry, did I just say that? No. For some more spiritual health. Tune in next week, family. You see this? What I love, this is not a masturbation. This conversation leads to real transformation and manifestation. Yes? That's what this conversation leads to. Family, if you're tired, this is where I'm going to do my infomercial right now. If you're tired of wanking at the system of white supremacy and waiting for them to do for you what you have been gifted with the spiritual abundance to do for yourself, then I want you, family, to join Waroho House in the Heaven Safari program this year, which is all about helping you cultivate a lifestyle of heaven in your daily experience of the world. I want you to go to the link in my bio, click the Heaven Safari, and sign up to be a part of our spiritual programs, which is going to take you into 2022. Yes, I have lined up for myself, like I said, we're going to be starting with the 11 laws of God. This is breaking down the mathematics of your spirit. Yes. This is not a religious book. This is the mathematics of your spirit. You know, like 1 + 1 = 2. Take away 1 is 1 again. That kind of stuff. We need to have autonomy over our spirit so we understand that we do not have to submit our energy to the system, because God has already got us in our nature, practically. Not on some esoteric shit. Not on some waiting for Jesus to come stuff. Not on looking for a savior or someone to answer your shit, but going into yourself, understanding the wealth, the power, the abundance, the wisdom that lies within you, and using that to cultivate a life of heaven right now. Do you understand, family? So, let's go in. Click the link in the bio, family. We're starting with this, and I've got some brethren from all around the world, some beautiful people of nature, some beautiful Watuwaro who are going to come and share in their masterful ways around your journey of spiritual health, family. I can't wait to get on this journey with you, family. Click the link in my bio. It costs. The investment is £1 a day. I'm going to say that again. The investment is £1 a day. Yeah? So, family, it's really a no-brainer. This has been created Again, like I said, I left England in 2016 when I, like some of you, was marching on the streets. I was leading the marches, fam. And I was like, this is an unsustainable way to change our lives. What we're doing is masturbating. It feels good for the moment, but tomorrow you're going to realize nothing has come from your masturbation. This is about giving life. This is about producing life within you. That's the difference, family. I'm going to see you guys at 9:15 for our spiritual health game. It's Friday, family. You don't want to miss. Some of you lot missed the dancehall one yesterday. Some of you lot asked for dancehall, but you missed it. So anything can happen today. Let's get it in. Peace in, love out, family. I'll see you in the Heaven Safari. Peace.
Nakumaisha watu wa roho, family. Thank you for tuning in to Too High to Go Hell, Spiritual Health with Mikel. This daily podcast is dedicated to the manifestation of heaven in our daily lives, family. If you are part of the African diaspora around the world, whether you live in the motherland or are of the motherland, you can tap into our spiritual health community. Go to warohohouse.com and click the Heaven Safari to join our portal specifically dedicated to the African community worldwide, family. This is your journey to spiritual health. Also, if anyone in the world would like one-to-one coaching with myself on your personal journey, again, go to warohohouse.com and click spiritual health to get on your journey with me. Family, thank you for tuning in. Please share, please like, please subscribe, please leave your comments on my Twitter or my Instagram at Mikel the Energy. And yeah, hopefully I'll see you again next time. Peace in, love out.